Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 345. I am Chris, as always, joined by Super Patriots fan Tony.
Go Patriots! Yeah.
Yeah. Fozzie is here as well.
He loves Tom Brady.
Forever.
Jeff is here.
Yo.
Randy Moss, super fan.
What?
And Pete is here.
Football's over.
Football is over.
Football is never over. In fact, I'm going to play Madden right now just to prove it.
I almost bought that the other day.
You should be.
I almost bought it on Sunday.
But you don't have EA access?
Yes. I ended up buying Rory McIlroy for $10. I played a lot of it.
Okay. Well,
but yeah, but Madden was 20. I should have maybe pulled the trigger on it.
Except they released like a Super Bowl edition every year.
Yeah,
or at least the last couple of years. So, so nothing new came out this week, I don't think.
Oh,
Neo came out this week, and I was supposed to get a copy of it, but Amazon fucked up and either ran out of copies or never shipped mine. And then they were like, sorry, you're going to have to wait until April if you want it, shipped to you. And I was like, I'll take my money back and put it on Horizon a month in advance. So hopefully that gets here in time.
Wow.
They gave your copy to me.
Oh, you bought it?
Fuck yeah. Through Amazon too.
Oh, nice. Well, last week we were talking about it. You said you weren't going to get it.
Yeah, I know. I pre-ordered it on Sunday. It showed up on Tuesday. And the fucked up thing is it said it was going to show up on Thursday, but it showed up on Tuesday.
Yeah, mine should have gotten it.
They love me more.
And they only sent me an email today being like, yeah, there's an issue with your product.
I think there is a limited run of it possibly. Because I was at Walmart earlier. It was sold out.
Really?
Huh. Can you buy it digitally?
You should be able
to buy it. But I'd also be spending $15 more than I would need to. So
that's fair.
I'll just wait. And
it's a good game.
Yeah. All right, that's so what it seems like.
Jeff, tell us about Neo then, since you have played it.
It is very much Dark Souls, pretty much, but with like little, you know, their little spins on it. It is faster, so it does feel more action-y or whatever. I guess like it feels not like Ninja Gaiden exactly, but the combat's a little more sped up to be a little bit more resembling that, like especially depending on what weapons you use. But I guess the best way I would describe it was kind of how I was describing it last week, at least, you know, like my impression of it based on what I had heard, is it's very much like Dark Souls, but just a little faster, but with way more loot. Like, it's like Dark Souls meets Diablo, which is
okay.
An awesome fucking mix, if you ask me. Like, just that, like, shit drops from everybody. Like, I probably have in my inventory right now, like, probably 300 items that I'm carrying around with me. You know, like, just all these, like, junk fucking weapons that I'm never going to use that I should probably sell. But, so, yeah, it's kind of like that. You know, it's in, like, feudal Japan type setting. I don't think like I like the setting, and I definitely don't like the art style as much as Dark Souls, but like just from a pure gameplay fanboy,
it's a very anime ass looking game.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like when you think of Dark Souls, like the art directions in those games, they're like second to none. Like every little thing from creature design to just the environments, it's just all very artistically done, and it's like this awesome like dark fantasy motif or whatever, and this is just kind of whatever.
it looks very much Ninja Gaiden Onimusha.
Yeah, like just nowhere near as impressive to the eye as Dark Souls is, but I mean gameplay wise it's fucking pretty awesome. And I've seen some talk, like Colin Moriarty, like saying it's like super hard and like way harder than Dark Souls and Bloodborne. And
I don't think he played any of those games.
Yeah,
which
gamer guys
normal, which you know backs up about as much of what he tends to say on Twitter. So.
Yeah, I just saw him. He was like a voice actor. I saw saying that, and that's kind of what I thought too. Because like honestly, like. I listened to a show with them once where they were giving their top 10 games of the year, and I swear, like, every game they were like, I've only played this for a couple hours, but it's in my top 10. And you're like, shut up. Anyways, I don't agree with that assessment, though. I don't think it's harder than Dark Souls, except for one of the bosses I fought so far I thought was really goddamn hard. Just, like, near impossible, but luckily you can... And part of it is I'm not approaching it right, maybe, because, like, this boss had a move where they could paralyze you, right? And if you are wearing the right armor, there's armors that have paralysis resistance in them. So I didn't have the right shit, maybe, right? But so
it's very Diablo-esque, then, like, if you spec yourself right.
Possibly,
like,
yeah, if you do it right, you know. Yeah. Like, if you, and you should essentially have, like, so many different options in your inventory that you could go, okay, well, this boss is using lightning, so maybe I'll gear up everything that has lightning resistance, right? You could do that. But, I do think that some of the bosses are pretty damn hard. That said, like Dark Souls, awesome thing, you could summon people. So, I've been
great,
summoning
the fight the bosses yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And you know me.
Go hide behind a rock and summon somebody in.
I will say
if only Jay Cutler could do it, right?
I beat the...
I'd like to summon a real quarterback.
I've beaten some of the bosses on my own. Like, I beat the fifth boss tonight on my own. Completely on my own. So it's not like... Like, you know me, I'm not, like, super amazing at games. So it's not super way harder than Dark Souls at all. I do think that there's things that... maybe tough adjustments for some people, but if you're, like, really good at Dark Souls, you'll be fine. I guess one other thing I would mention that kind of ties into all that is there, all over the world as you're going around, there are these, like, swords sticking, like, these red swords sticking out of the ground.
Oh, the bloodstains, right?
They're kind of like, yeah, they're like bloodstains in Dark Souls. They're, like, where other players have died. But instead here, you could summon that other player and fight them, you know, an AI version of them, right? I guess I'm assuming it has the specs of the person who died, but that's it. They're super easy to kill, and a lot of the times they will drop when you kill them the item you need to summon other players. So it's cool because there was a boss I was stuck on, and I had 3 summon items. And each time I summoned somebody, they were really bad at fighting the boss and died. So I died, naturally. And I was like, fuck, I'm out of these things. Luckily, though, yeah, you can go fight. You know, just these red swords are all over the place, you know. And so you could summon one of these other players, beat them. And I'd say at least 1 out of every 5 times, they'll give you the item that you need to summon another player. So getting along just fine. I will say it does seem like... there's possibly less people playing this than Dark Souls.
I'm not surprised. I bet you the...
Dude, I don't see anyone talking about it on Twitter. I feel like I'm the only person who bought this game.
Yeah, Twitter's not...
It's fantastic, though.
Yeah. Well,
it's a great game.
I think that's because...
You guys also talking about, like, the lack of copies. Like, that could be a problem, too.
Yeah. I wonder if there were a lot of people who saw the Team Ninja logo and thought it was a very specific thing instead of a combination of 2 very specific things.
I will say, I mean, like, if you're a Dark Souls fan, you will enjoy this game. Like, one, this is a great game. Like, so far I could tell, like, it's really good, like, well done. And if you like Dark Souls, you're going to like this. So if you have any hesitation, if you're like me, like, I don't know, Team Ninja, like, I can't, like, I could never play Ninja Gaiden. I could never get past the first boss in those games. This is not that. It's if you're a fan of Dark Souls, you're gonna love it. So,
if you don't mind asking, so last week we talked about it, and you were like, I don't think so. What changed your mind?
I have all this week off, so I needed something to do. Oh, I'm on vacation.
Yeah, no, that'll do it.
That's already why I was like thinking about it, and just it had got high review scores, and just everything I saw on it, I was like, this looks like my jam, dude. Like, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's been getting, like, 9s and higher where I've been looking at stuff, and that's pretty crazy for, like, a new IP, like, out the gate and stuff, so.
It's pretty crazy, too, because it wasn't, like, one that was really on my radar. I was aware of its existence, but, yeah, like, just, That's the thing I love is, like, we have our lists, you know, we make our list in January, what we think is going to be our top 10, and it's like, already I've gotten one big surprise out of this game. Where I was like, I knew it was a game called Neo coming out. I didn't know it was going to be essentially Dark Souls with fucking loot. All right, cool, you know, like,
yeah.
So yeah, I'm loving it. There's nice. More things to it, too. Like, there's different stances. There's three different stances you could do when... So that's like another wrinkle that they add to the formula, but it is really just Dark Souls plus Diablo with little wrinkles like that added to the formula. It's fun.
You've been playing anything else, Jeff?
Just a lot of Rory McIlroy golf. still pretty shitty, I think, but for ten bucks, I mean,
it's an okay golf game for $10. Yeah.
Like, I bought it for $60, and I sold it pretty quickly thereafter because I just feel like the golf feels off in it. Like, especially, like, I don't understand what the hell they were doing with the putt lines and stuff in it. Like, it's just different than every other game. Like, if you played a lot of golf games, you have certain expectations for how to read a putt line in a golf game. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you come into this, and I'm just, like, even still, like, even now... I try to put everything I can into putting because, like, in terms of stats and stuff, because I cannot fucking figure it out. Like, it doesn't make sense. And the golf kind of feels like shit, I think, still. But not that shitty that it's not fun to play. Like, dude, there's been nights this week where I had a couple beers in me. I'm like, I can't pay attention to Neo anymore. Pop in that game, play it 2-3 in the morning. Like, I was playing it last night. Super late online with people, and there are people still playing.
So well, it's the last cool. one, right? They haven't made one since then.
Yeah, they have not. Just since it was on sale for $10, it's kind of. Although it's not a great golf game, I thought it was a good deal. It's the only official like one we've gotten this gen, really, for Xbox. And they have added a bunch of stuff for free to it. Like one of the problems when that game first came out is it was severely lacking in content. And they've added a bunch of courses and stuff to it, so and they were free, so that's cool. On his second trip with it, so I'll probably end up playing a bunch more of it. It's not really remarkable, but if it was still on sale, which I doubt, I'd say get it. If it's not still on sale, fuck it.
Then don't get it.
Yeah.
Isn't it free? Can you put that in EA Access too?
Oh yeah, probably if you have EA Access, it probably is, but I don't.
Why don't you? It sounds like a mistake.
Because
thinking about buying Madden.
EA does not make games I give a shit about.
Mass Effect.
Generally.
Mass Effect. There
okay.
Go.
Yeah. Is that going to be free on EA Access in March?
The
no.
First
so.
Three are. So.
And don't you I get like those. A 10-hour trial or something?
You
yeah.
do.
Yeah. That's the problem. Cool, like, dude, if it was Nintendo doing that, I'd be like, hell yeah. But, like, EA, I don't give a fuck. Like, yeah, I like some of their games. I like
the Nintendo. They're bringing out big.
They should. Nintendo should do that.
That's what EA has been really good about adding shit to their vault. And now with the backwards compatibility stuff, like, they've been adding in a ton of, like, 360 games as well. So.
Mm.
That vault is pretty filled right now. I want them to add Dead Space 2, though.
Is the first one in there, right? I think we talked about that last week.
Dead Space is in there, yeah, but not...
I want to say Dead Space was a free backwards compatible game 2-1 month, or maybe I'm wrong, but I want to say it was.
It might have been.
Either way, regardless. Yeah.
Sorry.
Because fuck EA, that's why.
Okay.
But yeah, that's all I've been up to.
Fozzie, since you'll be leaving us soon, what have you been up to?
Yakuza.
Yeah,
still, huh?
Played some more of that.
Oh my goodness, so
any,
good.
Any more to add there?
I don't know. I'm like checking out women and fucking skimpy bikinis and just living the dream here. What else? I don't know. The story's fucking cool. I'm now a dude that has an eye patch. So
yeah, buddy.
Eye patches are cool.
Yeah. He begged his way to making some dude buy everyone drinks at the fucking place. It was crazy. It was crazy. I don't know. It's fucking weird. It's a weird game that I love. I love so much. It's so good. Highly recommend it. Yeah, it's there's a lot to do in this fucking game. There's so many side stories, and so just there's a whole bunch. Whole lot of so.
Does sound fun.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear you're still playing it because
yeah, I'm this is probably going to be for sure like I don't know if I'm going to beat it right now, but I want to beat it for the summertime. So yeah, that's probably it's probably going to be like my summer game, you know. But
yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
What are you getting Horizon later this month?
I don't know, dude. I really don't know.
What the fuck, bro?
That game seems. I saw the voice chat, or like not the voice chat, like some story, like voices. It looked really bad. I don't know. I'm hesitant. We'll see.
I've heard it's a very similar to Far Cry as well, but that doesn't turn me off from it. Like I like Far Cry, so
yeah, I love Far Cry. Yeah, it looks great, but we'll see. Do any of you guys have PlayStation Now by any chance?
No.
I just renewed my PlayStation Plus though, so I could summon motherfuckers.
Yeah, but like PlayStation Now is only $15 a month, and you get a bunch of games. So I don't know.
I mean, how many PlayStation 3 games are you looking to play that you can't play on Xbox?
That's yeah, fair.
That's the streaming service, right?
Yeah,
I'd be into it if it had a huge PS2 library, but
yeah,
apparently it does not. So
yeah. There's a couple PS3 games though that I really want to play. I
played every game last gen. Like I missed out on tons of PS2 games. I guarantee you. And so like that would be way cooler.
It might be worth it for you though, Fozzy. If like you there are some PS3 games you want to play, to like just pop down for a month and play some of them.
Yeah, you know that's what I was thinking. Is hey, like I'll just buy it for $19.99. As opposed to buying all these fucking games. And
right, I mean, I spend $15 at Chipotle every once in a while. So like,
yeah. I mean, $15 a month is like, when you really think about it, that's, and there's 400 titles on there. I'm not saying that, you know, like all of them are going to be like showstoppers, but $15 a month. I mean, I guess the problem is that, yeah, like I don't think I'm going to go back to it and play all these. So I might just buy like another subscription service probably, but I don't know.
Just make sure that if you do like find yourself not playing it, that you cancel it.
Yeah,
that sucks. Like when
where they yeah. get.
Well, that's. I mean, sure, all of you when you used to have discs for Netflix, like you would get one and it used would just to. Sit there. Well, Jeff still gets discs, but no. Well, I mean, you might still do it, Jeff.
It sometimes happens. Yeah,
you get a movie and like that disc just sits there. Like,
that is actually why. Why my wife and I eliminated the discs.
Yeah.
We never watched them.
It's like, then if you want to see a movie that just comes out, you have to go to Redbox or something. Like, or I guess you just rent digitally now.
Well, that's... I've gone to Redbox now. Like, I'll just... Because you can reserve it right on your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it's like $1.50 for a DVD and $2 for a Blu-ray, like, which is cheaper than renting it digitally. So, I don't mind doing that. But at least then I've returned it right away because like I've already spent my $2. So
you're saying you're doing it more because of your habits, like to correct your habits. Because like that's what I love about Netflix is like, all right, for in one subscription service I get all their awesome streaming stuff like Stranger Things, etc.
Yes.
But also if I add the disc for not that much a month, like I basically stay up on all the new movies. But
yeah
I guess. You need to have the discipline to be like, all right, well, that's because that's the thing. I get the mindset. If I have a movie that's been sitting there for a week, I go, we need to watch this now because we're wasting money.
Right. So. Yes. Like, I'd rather just go and pick it up and then return it than have the chance that it like, comes in the mail. And I don't even check my mailbox every day. So that's more on me.
How dare you?
Well, because I have the weirdest mailbox, Jeff.
Yeah. Most people don't.
I don't live in an apartment, but all the houses on our block have a joint mailbox that is at the end of the street. It's like this giant lockbox that, like, so
yeah, it's a cluster box.
Yeah, like I have to walk down to the lockbox, unlock my box, get my mail out. Fuck that.
There is a politician who wants to make all of America like that. And obviously, we are opposed to that.
Yeah, because I'm sure you wouldn't need as many of you.
Yeah, because let's say an average route has 600 deliveries, you could do well over 1,000 if they're like that. You know what I mean? So if you're limiting walking from box to box,
yeah.
And I would say that there's a good reason that the customer would not want to have to go to the end of their street every day to get their mail. Yeah. As you just said, you don't check it that often. So.
No, like every few days, maybe.
And then, like, think if you're elderly and you get pills and stuff through the mail, like, that would be a problem.
Yeah. Yep.
Just throwing out my obviously biased thoughts on that.
Union.
Slightly biased.
Yeah. Yeah.
But good points. Tony, what have you been up to?
Well, on the night of the Super Bowl, I was inspired to have more football in my life. So I started playing Madden again.
like a whole new season, or
so I continue with the franchise that I have already been playing. So Tom Brady has just retired. It's sad. Good. To me every time. I think for the last like 3 or 4 Maddens in a row, since Tom Brady is of that certain age that NFL players normally retire, he's retired at the end of the first season like every time.
Did they show him deflating balls? Ball salute or something?
I think we both know, Fozzie, that he doesn't need to deflate balls to be successful.
My God, bro.
Saying they were losing big time before halftime, and then he's like, let's get those balls deflated real quick.
No, I think we saw some balls deflate, but it was just a game
that I just deflating balls real quick. I'm sliding that DM.
I saw a lot of deflated birds, but
my enthusiasm deflated throughout the game.
But Madden's still really good. Y'all should play more Madden.
I like Madden.
But actually the game of note that I played this week, there was a big patch out for Galactic Civilizations 3.
Okay.
So I played a few hours of that. And I remember Galactic Civilizations 2 being like one of the best space strategy games I'd ever played. This game is disappointing. It's not bad. It's just so old school and so similar to that other game. It doesn't feel like an upgrade, even though it comes like a decade later.
It just looks a little prettier.
Yeah, it looks a little prettier, but it's the same game underneath. And they've done a lot to they keep adding content, but the game never feels any bigger or better. It's very strange, because Paradox does this with Stellaris, which is their space game. They keep adding content, but the game feels so much better when they do. And this game, it just feels like more stuff. I have the complete version, so I have all the DLC, and every time the new one comes out, I get whatever it is, and it doesn't feel like it should be one of the best games on the market. I don't know. It's hard to recommend this over other games.
I'm looking at the screenshots for 2, and that game, visually, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, and this one looks cool too. Like as you're playing, it's turn-based, but you'll see comets going across the screen. When you get to the battles, you can watch the battles take place. You can't actually control what's happening, but you get to watch your fleet go into action, and it looks really cool. That's probably my favorite part is when you have a big fleet go into battle, and you can see it the lasers launching and the photon torpedoes firing. It looks really cool when that happens. But the actual play of the game is very humdrum. It's just not that interesting to play.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. So, and I figured with all the new content, Because I've had the game since launch. It's been about 2 years now. That there'd be like more, but I feel compelled to play.
Don't feed that cat.
Can you hear the cat?
Oh yeah.
Who's torturing their cat? It's gotta be Jeff.
He just wants out of the apartment. He wants to go outside and die.
Yeah, let him roam, baby. Let him roam.
Yeah, I'm about to. He's shut up now.
All right, Pete. What have you been playing?
I finished Resident Evil.
Yeah. So have we all finished it now?
No, I have not finished it.
You have not finished. What do you mean?
I haven't played any more of it this week.
What the fuck are you doing? It's great.
We'll get to what I've been playing.
This is gonna be another one of those like Twilight Princess deals where I'm like, dude, did you beat it yet?
No, I will. Resident Evil is on my list next.
It's a really short game, so I finished it in 7 hours.
Wow, that was your clock time?
According to my clock time, yeah.
That's crazy. Okay.
And so yeah, I think last week I had just defeated the mother, and then after that the game like kind of drops off a cliff in terms of like, I'm not exactly sure how to describe it without openly spoiling it, but like the same sense of claustrophobia and like sort of like haunted maze that you're in.
The environment opens up, right?
Yeah, because you go into this whole puzzle thing with Lucas, the
son.
That's great, but
I love when you're walking in and it's all neon and it's like Let's Plays written on the wall. That was fucking fantastic. I took a screenshot of that.
My only problem is that it didn't really do much in that area to like telegraph that it's hard to explain openly, but it's not very scary. Like it just sort of dumps the monsters in front of you. It doesn't try to put them in places where they might scare you or anything. The most terrifying thing in that entire area, those tripwires that I would turn and actually see like inches from my face. and stuff. But then it gets into the third boss, which is the most Resident Evil ass boss in the whole game.
Yeah, for sure. All the eyes.
The eyes, I mean, well, and then the very last boss. And then the ship, which I thought was an interesting design choice. Like, I felt that it almost felt like a whole chunk of the game that you could have done as band footage DLC if it didn't need to explain some shit. And Jeff, maybe you can tell me what this was going on. So you're in the boat, right, at the very end after you defeat the third boss, and you're going in there. I don't know who you chose.
I chose my girlfriend.
Right, I did too. Because apparently, if you do that, it saves you from a nasty encounter later in the game, which I enjoyed. But then, it fades to black, and you get that weird scene with the father. I'm trying to explain this in like the.
I know. Right after that choice?
Yeah, you're on the boat and it fades and it's all green, almost like you're looking at it through a camera. And it's the dad and he's talking to you.
Yeah, the baker dad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you not remember that scene?
Maybe. I do remember him being we're not so bad, or I don't know.
That scene. I don't know what the fuck was that was all about.
Just to explain, I mean, it's directly, I can't spoil the plot here.
No, I know why it exists, but, it's what, it, why does it happen?
It's weird, too, because I've seen the other way when you choose the other person, and it's I don't know, I think...
Oh, is that scene different?
No, but I just think that, it's different in that you get on a boat with somebody else.
Oh, no, I know that. But yeah, but I meant the same.
It's just that you can feel some seams there where you have to account for this going both ways and stuff. But I don't know if that really explains that.
I was just
that.
Okay, now I'm, there was no explanation in the game why all of a sudden I'm communicating with this person in this state.
I don't know.
And space.
Mm.
And I feel.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's a good point.
I feel like they put that in there because they were like, "What if people don't read the files or the notes or the journals?
But yeah, what if they don't get it?
Because then they don't understand what's happening."
How did you like the story though? Like, I kind of dug it for what it was compared to most Resident Evils.
Yeah,
like I at least paid attention, and I could tell you what happened in that game. Essentially, well, I tell you like with most Resident Evil games, I just would go, well, I guess there's like an umbrella corporation that are evil. Like, I honestly don't pay attention.
Yeah. But like, well, this game got you pretty much covered the basis of all Resident Evil games, with the exception of maybe 4. And actually, it reminds me the most of 4 in terms of story. Like, it's dead simple in its approach. Yeah. It's like, okay, Resident Evil 4, which I played a little bit of today. It's like, all right, you got to go rescue the president's daughter, and there are these crazy people who have her, and they have their own virus. In this, it's like, okay, I got to go rescue my wife. These crazy people have her, and they have a kind of virus. It's not like this whole, like, worldwide conspiracy about, like, governments and bioweapons, though, you know, spoilers.
It's like, straightforward.
It does
like
become part of that towards the very end. And stuff. And actually, all that stuff is, like, what I enjoyed the most of the story. Like, the family stuff is cool, because, like, that's when the game is its scariest. But when you get into, like, the lab and the boat, and you learn all this, like, really weird stuff that helps, like, explain what's going on, I thought that was cool. My only problem is that they do it in, like, the last hour and a half of the game. And it's just like a lore dump.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's, but I got to give them credit, like, just for the simple fact that I paid attention and I was like, thought the story was okay. So way to go, Capcom, on that. Like,
yeah, definitely. I'm curious to see what the Not a Hero DLC turns out to be. I mean, I can't play it because I sold my game, but I'll watch it on YouTube or something, because that obviously has to do with the very end of the game and a certain character who shows up at the end. And all that stuff gave me exactly what I wanted in terms of, like, connection to overall Resident Evil and, like, where maybe they're going to go further with the game or with the series afterwards. Like, I don't think we'll ever see Ethan or Mia again, but in the same way that 4 kind of informed Resident Evil 5, because it was the same virus, I could see whatever was going on here with the molded and the E-virus informing, like, Resident Evil 8.
Well, and in terms of gameplay as well, I think that they a good new standard for it. Like, I hope. Like, I think it seems like it's successful. It seems like there was a lot of people talking about it when it came out. 3 of us bought it. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I hope they're back. I hope it's, like, because, like, in terms of just how good the game is, like, they're back. Like, they definitely did it. This game's awesome, I thought.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hope, like, it was commercially successful.
They have evidently shipped 3 million copies so far. So
that's good. And if they they're supporting it with a DLC. The Not a Hero DLC already is free when that comes out in spring. And then that Band Footage Volume 1. And Volume 2 is, like, in another week or so.
Yeah, and it's, like, their significant expansion. Well, not, I wouldn't call them expansion, maybe, but, like, yeah, they're, like, adding a decent amount to it, including, like you said, 1 free one. Like, that's cool. Like,
yeah. If you really want to get, like, fucking nuts, Jeff, you should look on YouTube for the speed runs of Madhouse difficulty.
Dude, okay.
And people beat that game in, like, 2 hours.
Someone played through the Madhouse difficulty with a knife.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know how, but, like, all I can tell you is I couldn't get past the intro of the game on Madhouse.
So,
I gave up. I couldn't do it.
Despite it just being harder, they also remix the puzzles. And so, like,
oh, that's cool.
In order to get the Scorpion Key, you don't just pick it up. You have to find the antique coins.
Scorpion King? I love that movie.
and stuff like that. And enemy placements are different. And because they expect you to have the New Game Plus weapons. So it's like, hey, man, those four-legged fuckers are coming for you a lot earlier in the game.
That's cool. I mean, yeah, they did. I mean, even just basic things too, like they kind of bring back, like, the ink ribbon idea with the Madhouse difficulty, like,
right,
where you have to find tapes.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just simply too hard. Like, I would love to play through it on Madhouse, but I couldn't do it. So, sucks. Because I would love to see, like, remix puzzles and all that, like, different stuff. But, oh well.
Yeah, that's Resident Evil 7.
It's good. Very good
game. It is. And I, like, when I finished it, I was satisfied. I didn't expect to be. Because I was already feeling fatigue about halfway through the game, but those last 2.5 hours maybe go by so quickly, except for the ship, which goes on maybe a little bit too long, but
you're kind of like driven at that point, like you want to know everything and you want to see how it ends and stuff like
that. You know, my only issue is that it forces you into that flashback sequence, which you don't have to do with any of the other tapes. Like, you actually don't have to watch them in order to progress the story or the game. But
it's good.
You should play it, Chris.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, I played a little bit of it, so I will play more of it.
How far are you, Chris?
I'm the same place I was last week. So
I don't remember where that was.
Right before you get the shotgun.
Oh, okay, so you're in the main hall then.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I just did the Mia tape, actually.
Oh, where she gets chased by the mom?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that's actually where I stopped at. Yeah, that what I played of it has been good. Unfortunately, I hooked up my original Xbox.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
You played Obi-Wan, didn't you?
I started Obi-Wan.
That game's bad.
Yeah.
Badass.
Like, real bad.
Yeah. And it's hard to believe that this was the game they made after Jedi Academy.
Yeah. It's really, really disappointing. Fortunately, I'm almost done with it, so.
It's basically just a retelling of The Phantom Menace, right?
What? Kind of. So, 40% of the game is, like, this weird, like, prequel to The Phantom Menace.
Okay.
That like deals with like a smuggling cartel that they've created lightsaber resistant armor and weapons and
yeah, the vibranium type stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, cortosis or whatever. I don't it's really
right.
Weird. And,
that's right. Yeah, It's all coming back to me now in like
and,
a flashback.
And then the third chapter starts, and it starts in the you know, just how the Phantom Menace starts with you on Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon on the Trade Federation command ship. The gas comes down, and you fight your way out from there. But it's like this super long, extended level, like because the movie part, like they're down on Naboo in like you know 5 minutes or so. This just keeps going on and has you fighting like battle droid after battle droid after battle droid. Ugh. After battle droid. It's just like that entire level is like it's like 25 minutes long and it's just battle droids. Like that's the only enemy. It's so dumb. It's really, really bad. In fact, most levels are like that. It's just like one or two different types of enemies, maybe. The controls are weird. Like it, the Xbox controller was dual analog, but you only the left stick is the one you use to move. The right stick you use to attack. So like the camera is always getting wonky on you. It's
oh weird.
Like you use your lightsaber with the left stick. It's really strange.
And you what? Do you use the directional pad to move?
No, you use the left stick to move, right stick is your attack with the...
Oh, okay. So how does it move the camera then? Do you with triggers?
No, it just does it itself.
Oh, God, okay.
So, like...
I'm sure that's great.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. And
it's not like God of War where it's thought out.
Right. Well, and in God of War, it was like, it was very, like, deliberate. Like, you would never... God of War is a 3D environment, but... It was kind of always played on like a flat plane, right? Like,
yeah, they figured it out.
Yeah. So this is it's a 3D environment, but it's a literal 3D environment. Like, there are points when you have to jump down into like another area, but to manually do the controls, you have to stop, you have to press. So the Xbox controller didn't have bumpers. They had it was like a black and a white button.
Oh yeah.
So you press the black button. I think it's the black button. Whatever the one on the left is, which would be, I guess, the left bumper, but it's not the left bumper. It's, then you kind of like have some sort of control over the camera. So like if you're trying to do some platforming, like you need to be like able to like look down, let go of that, and hope that you lined up your jump right to hit the point. So
that's a bad game. I'm really sorry that you're playing through that. What do you have to look forward to after that?
I don't know.
The sweet release of death.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to move on to – I'm going to finish Resident Evil, but the next Star Wars game, I just bought that Humble Bundle, so maybe Shadows of the Empire.
Are you going to play through the movie tie-in to Revenge of the Sith?
I don't have that right now, but maybe I will.
Some N64 Dreamcast pod racing?
The pod racing game was actually good.
No, that was great.
I used to like it.
Yeah.
Star Wars Demolitions.
That's a bad game.
Yeah, it is.
At some point, I'm going to play Master Taris Kasi, which is a terrible game, but that is a fun, terrible game.
That game, I can't believe that game exists. Like, that's one of those games that you look at and you revel, and it's just the sheer fact that it was brought into this world.
Like, who thought this was a good idea?
And who made it that way?
That it's like, I mean, there were plenty of good PlayStation 1 fighting games
that were
modeled after.
Yeah. Tekken especially, which was huge on the original PlayStation.
But outside of Star Wars, I just ordered Dino Crisis 3.
Yeah, buddy.
I've never played Dino Crisis 3. That is Dinosaurs in Space.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
That was when Capcom was weird, right? Like they had split off. They were going to support all the systems, but each of the systems were going to get their own exclusives.
Right. Dino Crisis was the PlayStation one?
Dino Crisis 1 and 2 were on PlayStation, but Dino Crisis 3 is an Xbox exclusive.
Right. Because that makes total sense.
Yeah, Dino Crisis 3 is an Xbox exclusive.
Oh my god, I forgot.
Nintendo got Resident Evil.
Yeah, it did.
Yep. They got 0 and 4. 4 eventually made it to the PlayStation 2. But
and the Dreamcast got Veronica, right?
Yeah, Dreamcast got Code Veronica. That eventually came over to the PlayStation 2 as well. Sony got Onimusha. They got, like, the new...
Oh, they got title. Camped on that one.
Oof. Onimusha was good, though. Like, the first one, at least.
Right, yeah.
It was basically Samurai Resident Evil. Yeah, so I'm going to play Dino Crisis 3 because it was $9 on GameStop.
Well, played of Dino Crisis was very similar to Resident Evil, like at least the
first. Yeah,
I played the first one.
The first one. The first one was basically Resident Evil Jurassic Park. Like,
yeah, which is cool.
Which I like the idea, You should play Parasite Eve at some point then, too. They're sort of...
Parasite Eve is fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, I don't... Well, the second one is weird, but... Yeah,
first one. No, that first one is great, though.
They made a third one, right? Was it for PSP?
They did. It's called The Third Birthday. It's not titled Parasite Eve.
Even though it's the same main character?
Yeah, Ayabri is the main character. They lost the Parasite Eve license because Parasite Eve is a licensed game.
That's right. It's based off of a book and has no relation to that book whatsoever.
Yeah. I guess, the relationship is that it's has something about a disease.
Yeah, that's
there's some sort of virus or something. But that's the only tie. I remember years ago, Madonna was going to star in a Parasite Eve movie.
Jesus.
Weird. I've been playing Obi-Wan. That's a bad, bad game.
You're a brave man for going through all of these Star Wars games.
I don't recommend Obi-Wan at all. And I built that Raspberry Pi last week. I did not film it because where I built it at, it was not.
Bye, Fozzie.
Fuzzy Leaf.
Yep.
See you later. Yeah, so I built that Raspberry Pi. That is a cool little system.
What did you put on it?
RetroPie, which has tons of different emulators on it. And I also installed Kodi, which is a media center. So basically I have like this little mini computer box and a Super Nintendo controller that can play just about everything from like, you know, the early Atari stuff to through the PlayStation era with little problem. It can also play like N64 games and stuff, but my experience with N64 emulation is it is not perfect.
No.
So like it also says like, oh, we can emulate PlayStation 2 games and Dreamcast games, but that emulation is not perfect either. So I would rather like you can still find a lot of those games and I have a working PS2 and but yeah, so I actually spent last night downloading Commodore 64 games that I owned at one point. Probably still do. They're probably still in my parents' attic.
I was going to say, how long has it been since you held a copy of an N64 game in your hand, or a Commodore 64?
Commodore 64, years. I'm sure that my mom still probably has the discs and cartridges in our attic or in her office. Those could be
worth a great deal of money, too. Right?
But I'm pretty sure the Commodore itself died. The system died, but that monitor was still working as of a few years ago. That was a cool little monitor, but yeah, I'm gonna test that out. Play some Commodore 64 games on that RetroPie. So, yeah, that's a cool little thing though. If anybody, and very easy to put together, like a Raspberry Pi, RetroPie. There are some really great walkthroughs on how to get that stuff up and running, and it doesn't take any know-how of, like, you know, you don't have to solder anything. Like, the case is really easy to put together. You just need a screwdriver. Like, it was four screws. That was it. And some heat sinks that have double-sided tape, so you can drop them onto the chips. That's it. So, really easy to put together. It's a really cool thing.
How much did it cost you?
Probably about $70.
It's not bad for what you're able to do with it, though.
Yeah, that was with the case. That was with the controller, one controller. That was with you need a 2.5-amp power cable. And the case and the chip itself. The Raspberry Pi 3 itself was like $40, so everything else came to about 30 more. Oh. $70, like...
Yeah.
$70 and maybe a couple hours of time, and you have a pretty cool
to get,
little box that is more capable than like that NES Classic, so or the NES Mini or whatever they're calling that thing. Doesn't look like one, but anyway, that's it for I guess new stuff we've all been playing. There's a little bit of news though, so
yep.
You sent us three news stories. Let's hit them up.
Yeah, and I have an addendum to one of them that I found later. But yeah, I guess from everything that I looked through today, through the past week, the big thing happened today, which was Activision's earning call. And the big things out of that are just mostly what you would expect, but it was just nice, I guess, to hear them say it. You know, there's no new Skylanders game for this year. They're just going to continue adding toys and digital content to the one that came out last year.
So Toys for Life isn't dead, but like there's nothing new coming.
Lego Dimensions is still insanely popular. So
right, but also there's no like there was no Lego Dimensions 2 last year either. Like
right, I think they learned off of it. Maybe from Disney.
Yeah, you can't release one of those every year. Like,
yeah, and still expect to keep, like, I still expect people to buy the new Portal and the new toy sets that only work with the new stuff, like,
yep.
That, I think, you know, that's why, you know, Disney Infinity only lasted 3 years because of that, you know, and a few other reasons, but in general, it didn't get them very far.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it would have helped if the first two games were actually decent games on top of everything.
Sure, yeah.
The Star Wars stuff was really good. It's sad it didn't keep going.
Call of Duty's not going to be in space this year?
No.
No.
Noting that the space setting didn't resonate with players and that Infinite Warfare wasn't the success that we planned. So...
shit sucked.
Yeah, so this is going to be a sledgehammer game. And
I
so
with sledgehammer, don't worry.
They, I guess, are going back to... I don't know. Well, okay, I don't know. They said it's going back to its roots. Does that mean World War II, or does that mean Modern Warfare?
They heard our podcast from last week, and they said World War II.
The Korean War.
Yeah, that's the last war that they haven't...
Real life.
Real life.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, that was like the only Call of Duty news. And then there was, and then obviously they talked about Destiny, right? Which is that Bungie is still planning to release the game this year for all modern consoles, including PC.
I'll believe it when it hits.
So here's the most interesting part of this whole thing. It says, if Bungie misses this year for Destiny 2, Activision is awarded a hefty chunk of the studio's stock.
Great.
So basically they would own, maybe not own them, but they would own a portion of them.
I don't know what, I don't know how you would define hefty in terms of perhaps majority, but I guess so. It's in Bungie's best interest to get this game out. Which, unfortunately, doesn't necessarily bode well for the state of Destiny 2. Like, I feel like if they're just looking to release a game and not a good one, then we're going to have a Destiny 1 situation all over again.
The consumer has already decided you can fix it later. It's fine.
I do wonder how much Bungie is kicking themselves for buying themselves back from Microsoft.
Yeah.
And then
they fucked themselves. Dude.
Basically, themselves off from because originally Microsoft was supposed to have first dibs on whatever Bungie did after they left,
right? And they declined Destiny.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So it was like, what was the state of that thing, or like, what was the money investment that they were looking at that time that they were like, no, And you're not ours anymore, so we don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah, I don't know. Bungie's in a rare state these years because, I can't imagine what a product looks like if you have to rush to deliver it by the end of the year, so that way you don't lose your company.
Yeah.
Let's assume that was Taken King 2015, or was it this last year?
The Iron Lords, whatever that was 2016. So yeah, Taken King was 2015.
Okay, so because that was like the last time that anybody was like, "Holy shit, Destiny's good." So let's assume roughly around then they started development of Destiny 2, and they put their B team on like the weird ass holiday content everybody got, like those little like Hisant things that didn't really keep anybody busy and were like,
well, they're not even doing that this year.
Right. I mean, so let's assume since mid-2015 or so, that means the game will have been in development for 2.5 years. And if it's supposed to be a weirdly, instance-based, massive multiplayer game... I know, all I'm saying is that it sounds like a lot... Like, apparently they were working on the first Destiny since ODST, right?
Right.
Or at least Halo Reach. And that was a lot longer of a development time, and that's the game we got.
Right.
But now they have the foundation there.
Yeah, okay, but what's that foundation? A list of things not to do?
Yeah, I am not a fan of Destiny.
Like, Destiny was the mechanics the best are game great. Ever, but there are a lot of people who adore that game.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't understand why. I mean, I get that the shooting's cool, but I mean, like, they had no story content. A lot of their quests... systems made no sense to a lot of people. A lot of people didn't like the competitive.
Well, let's not say a lot, because there were a lot of people who enjoyed it.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, and there were
people loved it.
And that competitive is still more populated than most games, actually. So
yeah, let's not.
I never heard good things about that.
That's not the case. That's just not the case.
There's a lot of people that play the competitive, and those raids were and still are things that people go back to on a weekly basis.
Oh, like, sure. No, I mean, like, I won't begrudge them, like, the shooting mechanics and, like, the Taken King raids and stuff like that, but, like, the way they kept supporting that game and stuff and, like, the way that that development went in terms of, like, content delivery.
I think it was a bad game. Like, I think mechanically it was awesome, but I think it was a bad game. So, I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, I played it for maybe a month because I bought it with my PlayStation, and I don't know, like, I wanted more. I was expecting a lot more from the people who made Halo. And...
Well, you know, you also have to, like, look at that. Like, that game continued to grow after what you guys played with it, too.
Oh, absolutely, right. And that's what I'm saying. I know, since Taken King was sort of the high point of that development, in which people were like, oh, all right, well, now, as a collection of, like, Destiny plus Taken King expansion, it's now what the game should have been when it launched, is what most people were saying from, like, Reddit.
Well, it seems like that. It seems like the critics that had fallen off of Destiny were like, yes, this is what it should have been. But that game still had more players even before Taken King came out than most games have. Like, there were still 300,000 players on that game weekly. Like, well before the Taken King came out. So, I mean, that...
I wonder how many they have now.
Probably not a lot, because that... Like, after Rise of Iron in the fall, like, they have not supported it at all. Like,
and I heard Rise of Iron was just sort of okay.
It was...
Like, it wasn't another Taken King, basically.
It was shorter than the Taken King, and, yeah, it wasn't quite as good. Like, it was decent, but it just... It did not hold my interest. Didn't hold Don's interest, and Don was somebody that played like 400, 500 hours of Destiny before King came out. I mean, and that's not like, I mean, we have friends, Jeff, like Dub, that have played thousands of hours of Destiny. Like,
I don't understand.
Like, I think Dub has like 1,500 on the Xbox, and he also has three full max characters on the PlayStation. So.
Oh, you know what? This brings me up, not to sidetrack stuff, but, like, I did play one other thing this week, and I finished up my new game plus of Dark Souls 3.
Nice.
Awesome. And I've, like, 100% of that game. I've done everything you can do in it.
Do you have all the trophies? Finally.
I'm missing a couple achievements. Like, there's, like, one where it's, like, infuse your weapon every different way that you can. I've not done. But, like, let's say if you're going through the list and, like, bosses, I've killed them all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've done every area, blah blah blah. So that's after three times playing through the game, and I have done everything. I've put 70 hours into it.
And this, you're telling me someone's
put in 1,500 fucking hours into fucking Destiny,
right?
Anyways, so
are you gonna play the Ashen City or whatever the new one is?
I don't think so. I didn't get any of the other DLC for it yet. Like, I think there was another DLC and I did not play that. But the game proper, I can say this about very few games, and to get to say it about Dark Souls is pretty awesome. I've done Dark Souls 3, baby.
You did it good.
Yeah. But it did not take me 1,500 hours to do it.
But I am scared of where Destiny 2 is going.
Ryan, what does Bungie look like? Like you were saying, Chris, before, like, remember Vince Zampella and those guys were suing, and we got to look at the contract and stuff, and, like, that they were originally supposed to deliver a sequel, like, every 2 years or something, and that, like, Bungie is, like, losing money and like, milestone payments because they had to push things and stuff like that. Like, I wonder, like... For a company that, like, built themselves off of, like, Halo and something, like, made them a known name, like, how they got themselves in this mess. Like, this kind of contract didn't seem like it was going to get them anything but bit in the ass.
And they have.
Well, I mean, hopefully not, but it just... It'll be an interesting situation. I wonder if we'll see something about Destiny at E3.
Jeff, I was wrong on Dub's time.
Oh God, it's long.
Oh no.
It's 3,600 hours.
You realize that's more than most people work in a year, right? Like,
he spent 150 days and 7 hours on that game.
Like,
holy shit.
Let's say you work 40 hours a week. That's 2,080 hours a year. And he's almost 1.5 to that. Or whatever. Yeah. Like, someone should be cutting him a check for how much you fucking pay that game. That's ridiculous.
Maybe they are.
Yeah, maybe he streams it, so who knows?
I've never heard of numbers like that.
Yeah, I mean, even I think Dota is probably my most played game, and that's 891 over the course
of nowhere close
4 years.
I think my highest is the Dark Souls games. So I put in like 100 hours on them. Like a lot of them, not just the latest one, but that's the limit for me. 100 hours, that's what you get.
I'm sure Tony's put in more than 100 hours on some of his strategy games.
Oh, definitely, on many of them,
or even Battlefield, right? I would assume.
Oh, yeah,
that might be close. Probably.
But have you put in over 1,000 hours on any game? No. Like any of you guys?
No,
I don't think I have. I mean, there's other games come out.
I move from game to game too much. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like 100 hours is a lot. Like,
I'm happy when I get a dozen hours out of a game. I'm like, thank you. That was great. Thanks.
Yeah, like a game like Halo, I will spend over 100 hours, 150 hours on.
But right, well, you also have a group of friends. Like,
yeah, that we play. I play with Tony, play with Walt, play with John, like play with other people. Like, they're games that we get on and play. And that's Tony does that with Battlefield and Don and
right.
Right.
Like multiplayer games are. I mean, and that's Destiny is a multiplayer game. So I don't know what Dub is playing.
Even that, though, like a new game comes out later that year or something, single player games you want to play. Like,
I mean, Tony and I have mostly moved off of Titanfall. Like,
right.
Just like we're going to be playing Mass Effect soon. So like that'll take up a lot of our time.
Yeah,
you guys need to get on that Neo. Come fucking co-op with my ass.
Yeah, that actually was one thing that, because you can search
co-op with friends
and stuff. Like, you can co-op purposely. It's not just like find some random human being.
I mean, you could kind of do that in Dark Souls, but yeah, you could totally co-op this game, which is awesome.
But
also, last thing is E3 is going to be open to the public partially.
Partially, so, huh?
They're selling 15,000 tickets.
How much do they cost?
$150 for the early bird pricing, which is like starting February 13th and for like 2 days or something like that. And then they go up $100.
Oh, so $250 if you don't get them early.
Hmm. Yes.
I'd say $150 is totally, like, if I could go, I would do it. Why not?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about it.
I'm assuming I don't have vacation when it is, but
it is June 14th to June 16th, and that's just the days of the show floor. Obviously, E3 begins technically 2 days before that.
So is it technically all right? So,
these tickets are only for the show floor.
Yeah. So it's not like you're getting ticket. Like, you're not spending $150 on, let's say, that day. That's the Sony press conference or all the conferences you can't.
Yeah, like that, I don't remember how you'd have to.
You might be able to get into the press conferences because, like, Sony very much will put fans in, but that's normally like some sort of raffle or something. Like,
but they also like, because like Fozzy got into when he went 1 year, he got in. I don't think it was through a raffle. I think maybe he like through media.
He might have had press.
He had press tickets for Vagary at that point. So
right. So, like, right, I don't know when these tickets go on sale, because it just is still telling me that the XWell Pass is almost $1,000. So, I'm not sure when.
See, like, I don't register. Think I don't know if I'd pay $150 to go and stand in really long lines to play like a demo. Like, I but $150 to go to like the actual event to see like games unveiled and shit, I would be down with. But I guess that's a different type of thing.
Well, and apparently people who do this, they get like special access to stuff like these 15,000s. They get because it's kind of confusingly worded, but like I guess it's sort of like an ambassadorship program that like Jeff Keighley is running. And let's see, what does Polygon say? Like, everybody seems to have a different word on these things. And yeah, something like separate events and stuff like that, that these tickets can get into and stuff like that. And so, I don't know. I mean, I think a lot, I think it's perhaps a positive change just because, like, you know, why, like, GDC is the closed off show, right? For developers.
Right,
and stuff,
it's a
and, like,
developer show.
Like, the fact that E3 is a. Who cares at this point?
What?
Like, it's not like anybody's going to it right now, anyways.
If E3 wants to stay relevant, they need to open it up to the public. It needs to be like Gamescom or a Tokyo Game Show where the public can get in because. There's just not enough going on. Like, there needs to be a reason for these publishers to show up. And maybe having the public there will, you know, get some excitement and interest in the event again.
Right. And well, and they're encouraging like streamers and stuff. Like the media age has changed, right? It's not no longer just the websites. It's like, okay, well, let these YouTubers and let these really big Twitch streamers come as well. And entice them to come and cover the show in interesting ways. Okay, so they go on sale at February 13th at noon, which is next Monday. At noon, maybe Eastern, maybe I would assume since they're in California, I would assume actually 3 p.m. on Eastern time. I'm not sure, but yeah. No, it is Eastern. So I'm sorry. Yeah, 12 p.m. Eastern, the E3 website if you are interested in going to E3.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was I think that's it for news there.
I don't have anything else.
I do have one other thing, because this was on I think this was on Don's list for the power rankings. South Park, The Fractured Butthole, was delayed out of. Yeah, did they give an official date on when it's?
I think it was indefinitely. I think it was
sometime in the next fiscal year.
Yes, so that's wide open door.
Right, so not this year, so not before March, which is supposed to come out. That's really scary, though.
Yeah.
Like, this game was supposed to be out in, like, 6 weeks or so, and, like, completely shelved. Fixed.
I'm just happy I was no longer looking forward to it. If I was still looking, like, if I was, like, I think you said Don is, like, super excited for it, right?
Yeah, it was his number two game.
Yeah, like, I'd be pissed, obviously. Like, they did that to me with Zelda, but I went back and played the first one recently. And I think Fozzie was saying last week that he was playing it and he liked it, but I don't know. It's fine, but it's nothing amazing. It's good because it's South Park. Like, that's what makes it better than what it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's good because it's funny. Like, it's a funny episode of South Park. Like,
I know, but like gameplay wise, it's kind of like a like not very like an okay Paper Mario, which
was better than the new Paper Mario, right?
Yeah, I guess I was gonna say like I guess those aren't doing so well either, but I don't know. I just wasn't super looking forward to it. I'm not the hugest fan of South Park. Like, I like it when I watch it, but I don't watch every new episode or anything.
I catch it when I catch it. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Falling off of it years ago, so. Yeah. But I did enjoy that first game, and I would have played the second game.
Yeah, but it is interesting that it's getting delayed so much because they were kind of like, I remember when they first announced it, it was like, yeah, we learned a lot of our lessons on the first one. We had never made a game before. Like, even though it was whatever studio.
Obsidian.
Yeah, Obsidian made the first one.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not Obsidian.
But that was kind of like their excuse, though, was that Matt and Trey were like not familiar with video game, right, like making and blah, blah, blah. Now, this one, they were, you know, it seems like they have the foundation there. Like, yeah, they added a little more to the battle system, but like, what the fuck? Like, what's going on?
I wonder if, because Matt and Trey also, they've been in the news recently because I guess they are moving away from like political humor. During Trump's presidency, because they just don't know how to approach it. I wonder if this might be in response to that.
I mean, as well. Like,
we're gonna yank some of this shit out. Like,
you think there was a bunch of stuff in the game that like somehow speaks to the election in some way? And
maybe like they've been known to do shit like that, so. If maybe they just don't find it funny right now. Because like, remember, this game was before that, so...
Yeah, I know. I just forgot what the plot of it was. Like, I don't remember the plot seeming to have anything to do with anything like that. Like,
it was more... it looked like it was, you know, instead of fantasy-based...
It was like Avengers, right? Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, you can do political stuff like that.
But maybe having to rewrite stuff.
Yeah.
Or just take it out.
I mean, it could just be a piece of that. Like, it could also be that this game is just fucking broken, and
maybe.
I am really tentative on that game, though. So.
Shit, I canceled my pre-order after the first delay, but it was mostly like me going, I don't think I really even wanted that in the first place. Like, after they delayed it, I was like, whatever, right. Fuck it.
It's a
I maybe play it when it's cheaper or something.
But
if it ever comes out.
Yeah, if it ever comes out. It's not like we're going to be hurting for things to play this year. So
I could definitely see them their response, though, to the election. Because, like, their political humor is usually just, like, you know, both sides are stupid. And it's kind of yin and yang. It's kind of like what I remember of their political, like.
Right.
That's it. Like, it's not... Honestly, it doesn't seem very politically informed. And then in the face of Trump, that doesn't ring true at all, I don't think. Like, to say that this guy is like any other politician, like, people might say, oh, they're all the same. It's like, well, yeah, that's kind of true, but this guy's also an idiot, like, trying to do that. Like,
I didn't catch a lot of their political stuff over the course of the election. Did Mr. Garrison end up winning their election?
They had to rewrite the episode. Because they had Hillary winning, and then they had to rewrite it within 12 hours or whatever the fuck to change it. And I saw, like, that episode and parts of that season. It was just okay. Like,
yeah, I didn't catch a whole lot of it. I just know that Mr. Garrison was – I know the basic plot line. It was like Mr. Garrison was being an asshole, and he was basically trying to throw the election, and which seemed very, very – true to life.
Yeah, but like from what I remember of them, it was like you have to choose between asshole and shit sandwich, or you know, it was just like that's kind of how they always play, like,
yeah,
not just last season, but like that's kind of always been
for a lot of their political nonsense. Yeah,
they both suck, and they're both the same, really. Doesn't fit anymore, but
no,
maybe they do have to rewrite some of the game because of that, but they certainly had to rewrite some of the season because of that.
I mean, it could very well be that just the game is just broken. So,
yeah, and it's not Obsidian this time, right? Did we already?
No. Ubisoft is publishing it. I don't know who is making it, but it's not Obsidian. So, oh well. I think that's it. Next week, Halo Wars.
Halo Wars.
Tony and I will be playing Halo Wars.
I'll still be playing Neo.
And Jeff will be playing more of that. And Horizon Zero Dawn is quickly approaching. Hopefully that turns out
good. Tony, getting your PS4, baby.
I'm thinking about it. I probably won't be there.
Dude, there's enough games now to justify it. And it's like, you can get one for like $250?
I don't have time to play that many games, so it's hard for me
right.
to I'm gonna buy this console for.
It's not that much anymore, though. So I'd do it.
Well, you can get a PS4 for what, $250? You want for $250?
Yeah, we are the devils on your.
You want the pro, right?
I'm gonna get the pro if I'm gonna get
the
PS4. Yeah, I guess.
That's where, like, that's why I'm like, I'm not gonna do anything with my PS4 this year outside of like getting a couple of the exclusives because I'm gonna get the Scorpio and at the end of the year. So.
Yeah, but you have a PS4. I'm doing the same thing. Yeah. It's gonna be tough though, because I'm probably gonna be buying Switch and Scorpio pretty closely. Like,
yeah, I'm planning on getting Switch in April. I think if I can, if they have any whenever they become available after April, I'll probably get a Switch.
Maybe I'll do it for Splatoon 2. Like, if that comes out in like June,
mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll get it done. If it's available, because with Nintendo,
I budgeted Scorpio in, so I'm prepared. Provided it's not like $1,000.
What did you budget it at? Yeah, I was gonna say.
If it's six or less, I'll have money for it. So, I'll be able to get rid of one of my Xbox Ones, so I should be able to make some money off of that. All right.
Exciting year.
Yeah. We'll be back next week. I will try and play some Resident Evil, promise. at some point, I got to start playing these Shenmue games so that Fozzie can tell me why they're so great.
Good luck.
So I have them both now. All right. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.